To get to hear a pig preach, now that is a treat. One place I preached years ago, I was greeting folks around like I was doing this morning, and one grandmother had her grandson beside, and she said, "This is Brother Pig. Stick your hand out and shake hands with Brother Pig." And he jumped back, and he surveyed me, and he said, "What's your house made out of?" I knew he had heard about the three little pigs. What a blessing it is to share with you the story of Mission GTO Mexico. My wife said she met a brother this morning, and I think I met him also, who's either he or his family is from the state of Guanajuato, right here. Amen, brother. Are you a native from Mexico? Okay. Your family are from there. Did you familiar with any of those cities that I mentioned? I'm sorry? Okay. All right. Good. Well, we have something in common. I was born in France. And I don't sound French, neither do you sound like you're from Mexico. But anyway, we're blessed to be together here to worship the Lord. And I do want to talk to you about missions. Missions made me and missions sustains me. And I talked about that in Bible class this morning, about the wonderful work that we're doing in Mexico and the many individuals and churches that are cooperating with us at Lake Harbor Drive. And I had a wonderful meeting with the elders yesterday, with Brian, your deacon over missions, and then to share with you what we're doing in Bible class this morning. But that's really not my purpose. My purpose today in worship with you is to lead you with a greater understanding and to motivate you and mobilize you to have greater involvement, participation in prayer, in ministry, in a labor of love, in foreign missions beyond our borders and going across the street. Because we have a responsibility not just to go overseas, but we have a responsibility to our cities as well as the continents and right here at home in Lake Charles. What does mission mean to you? Well, you know, you may find this strange, but the word mission or missions or missionary is never found in the Bible. At least in the Hebrew or Greek words. Now, there are other words which has now been translated in a few of the more modern translations. So you will find the word mission maybe occasionally in some of the translations, but that word is not there. But the idea, the concept of the words that we've been using for generations in the church is there. Because we serve a missionary God and a missionary Christ and a missionary Holy Spirit. And so when you turn in your Bible from Genesis to maps, you're going to find it emphasizes missions. It's the heart of God. And that's what I want us to see and to understand this morning. Why would a Christian woman or Christian man or a Christian young person leave the comforts of the United States of America with our tremendous economy and great schools and high economic standard of living and move to a foreign country and in many cases live in a totally different culture and have to learn a brand new language. And in many cases, even finance their own mission trip. Why would Christians do such things? Why would a church like Lake Charles encourage its members in their treasure and in their talent and in their time to be mission-minded, to give generously and joyously to the good work of working with the Lord in spreading the gospel both here and over there? Why would we do that? Well, let me give you three reasons why we need to be involved in missions, okay? Truth number one, missions is the heart of Jesus Christ. It's the heart of Christ. I mean, it's the main reason that Jesus came into this world. It really is the center of His public ministry. It is the reason He suffered on the cross. It's the heart of Christ. We serve a missionary Messiah this morning. When you think about the mission of Jesus, open your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. And begin with me at about verse 17 or 18. Shortly after Jesus' baptism, you remember He was tempted in the wilderness. Remember that? And then He headed north into Galilee from Judea to His hometown of Nazareth. And He visited the little synagogue there where Joseph and Mary had taken Him from the time that He was just a baby. And they all knew this hometown boy. And so they asked Him to stand up and read the Scripture. And He happened to read from the book of Isaiah in chapter 61. Jesus gives in that passage a summation of the heart of His ministry. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And He shut that book, and He sat down, but not before having said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Now, that enraged people in that synagogue. So much so that they attempted to take Him up on the top of the hill of the city and to cast Him down and kill Him. But Jesus moved and passed on down to Capernaum, which really became His headquarters for His public ministry. And while there, again He goes into the synagogues. He performs some miracles. And these people, they are astonished at His teaching. And when Jesus decided to depart from there and to go into a desert place, they compelled Him to stay. "We want you to stay. Don't go anywhere else. Just stay right here." Jesus said in verse 43, "I must." Now, underline that word "must," because that underlines the evangelistic urgency of Jesus. Jesus had not a single bone of complacency in His heart over His mission. But He had this sense of urgency. "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." The Son of Man, the Son of God, later went into a little city of Jericho. Jericho was a city of priests. But He doesn't go home to a priest. As He journeys down the road, He looks up in the tree and there's a little man there in the tree. What was his name? Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was loved by everybody. I mean, he was a celebrity in that town. One of the most notable, loving men of all the city, right? Wrong. He's a tax collector. He's despised. But what does Jesus say? "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree." Now watch it. "I must go to your house today." And what did the people say? "He's going home with a sinner." And then Jesus said, in John 19, verse 10, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Somehow I jumped way ahead of myself. Preachers do that sometimes. In John chapter 4, it opens up by saying Jesus must go through Samaria. And that word must there is not a geographical restriction imposed upon him. You see, he knows, as the Son of God, that in Samaria, near the little city of Sychar, was Jacob's well. And a sinful woman was coming to that well to draw water. But Jesus must go through Samaria because he wants to give that woman the water of life. And he does. And she leaves her water pot and she runs off into Sychar, knocking on door after door after door to tell him, there's a prophet out there. He knows everything about me. Come and hear him. And about that time, the disciples come. They had gone into Sychar to buy food. And when they offered food to Jesus, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Lift up your eyes and look, the fields are white unto harvest. And don't say yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. You see, that white-robed crowd of people led by that sinful Samaritan woman is headed toward Jacob's well. And Jesus wants to point out the heart of his mission to his disciples. What about you this morning? Do you have a heart for the harvest? Are you willing to give generously of your financial resources to spread the gospel to the whole world? Are you a generous giver in this congregation? Can this eldership depend on you? Can they count on you when it comes to doing the work of the church? By your involvement, by your time, not just your treasure. Do you have a heart for the harvest? I'm here to tell you that mission is the heart of Christ. And then the second truth is mission is the hope of the condemned. In the book of Mark, in chapter 16, Jesus gave what we call the Great Commission. And in that Great Commission, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that it believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, are you listening? Shall be, what church? Condemned. My King James Version says damned. Masses of people are headed to a devil's hell this morning throughout America and throughout the world. But the gospel, the mission, that's the hope of the condemned. You all know John 3:16, right? You know John 3:16? What about you, huh? Yeah, you know it by heart. What about the next verse? You know the next verse? Oh, boy, I'm not sure about that. For God so loved the world, say it with me, church. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And whoever believes in him will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe in the Son of God is condemned already. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into this world and men love darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. the hope of the mission that we're involved in this morning, church. It is the hope of the condemned. God does not want anybody to perish. Not in this parish or any other county or parish in the United States or Mexico or Lithuania or wherever we send our missionaries throughout the continents. It is the heart of Christ. It is the hope of the condemned. The majority of us has placed our faith in Jesus Christ, and that's wonderful. And we have repented of our sins, and we've been buried with Christ in baptism, according to Romans 6 and verse 4. Galatians says we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. Thank God you are in Christ this morning, brother or sister in the Lord. And if you are in Christ, guess what? No condemnation. Amen. Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. To them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For God sent His only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. And so you have no condemnation. And so mission is the hope of the condemned. I heard about a agnostic businessman that went to Fiji, South Pacific, and he met a chief of a tribe there and learned that this chief had been influenced by a missionary and he had become a believer in Jesus Christ. And he began to ridicule the old chief. You're a fool. You've been duped by these missionaries. There is no Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world. You're just wasting your time and energy to be a part of Christianity. The old chief said, you see that rock over there? He said, used to, we would take people like you and we would thrust you against that rock and crush your head until you were dead. And you see that oven over there? We would take people like you once we had killed them and we would roast them and eat them for dinner. And if it hadn't been for those missionaries bringing Jesus and the gospel to our village, we would be eating you for supper. Because we have turned from cannibalism to Christianity. Mission is the hope of the condemned. And then finally, you like it when a preacher says finally, don't you? Yeah, I know you. Just like Lake Harbor Drive, brethren the same everywhere. Finally, I want you to see that Jesus is not only the only hope of the lost, but mission is the health of the church. I heard about a brother one time that got up to pray and he said, Dear Lord, bless those who are sick of this church. You'll get that in a minute. He meant to say the ill people, the people that are sick of our congregation, but it didn't quite come out that way. Are you sick of this church? One scholar said one time, the church that will not evangelize will do what? Fossilize. Another one said, the best remedy for a sick church is put it on a missionary diet. I believe that with all my heart. In Mexico, we try to point our brethren to the churches like Jerusalem Church and the Antioch Church and the Philippian church, who were missionary churches. Jesus had said in Acts 1 and verse 8, "You will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And when you turn to the book of Colossians chapter 1, the gospel was taken in less than 10 years to every creature under heaven. They fulfilled the Great Commission in their generation. How do you measure a healthy church? Not by its seating capacity, but by its sending capacity. The early Christians took the gospel to the whole world, and they didn't have a church building. They didn't have mass media. They had limited financial resources. They were under heavy persecution. And yet, they were healthy churches, because they were missionary churches. One of the great preachers that I have known in my lifetime is a preacher by the name of Charlie Cole. Anybody ever heard of Charlie Cole? Charlie Cole was a president of International Bible College years ago in Florence, Alabama. He made a trip to Southeast Asia. And he was one of those great preachers that was always challenging the church in missions. And I heard him talk about, basically, there are three responses of healthy churches to the Great Commission. Go. Isaiah said, when God said, "Who will send and who will go for us? Here am I, send me." And Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world." And Brother Ivan Stewart wrote a great book on that when he said, "Go ye" means what? Go me. And so, healthy churches go. Healthy churches in their Bible school programs and in their worship and in their fellowship and their body life are nurturing young boys and girls to eventually become missionaries. And eventually they go off to Christian colleges and they go on short-term missions, and some of them go to the AIM program at Sunset, and they go like one of our young ladies did recently to Bolivia, South America. And then we pray. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he said, "They're harassed, they're helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Pray, therefore, the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I've worked with youth camp for many, many years. It thrills me to see these young boys and girls up here. And by the way, there's 10 girls to every boy in this church. If I was 16 years old, I'd be moving here. But I would teach the boys and girls at Sardis Lake Christian Camp this song, "Lead me to some soul today. Teach me, O Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray." If you can't go, you can pray. Amen? And then we can sin. Brother Cole pointed out Romans chapter 10, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." That's what we're involved in Mexico. We've got 12 missionary preachers, native Mexican preachers, five of which have been converted through our ministry together over the last 17 years, and are now our preachers. I just simply go down two or three times a year. I take different ones with me, and we motivate and we encourage, and we pray and we cry and we laugh and we celebrate the victories, but our primary work is that of sending. We are a sending church. And we're calling upon you, the Enterprise Church family, to give a serious consideration. I met with your elders yesterday and with Brian and gave you a presentation in Bible class. And if you think that this particular work is worthy of your generous, joyous giving, I'd like to challenge you this morning to come to one of the elders or to Brian or to me and give us a contribution, a generous contribution. Just go ahead and give us all the money that's in your purse and your wallet. That'll be okay. You won't miss it. I'm just being facetious. But I am asking you, consider helping us this morning in some monetary way. But if you can't do that, you can pray. And I appreciate the opportunity for you to let me come and share with you the story of missions. Brother Coyle went to Southeast Asia. Brother Coyle said he went into the jungles, into the remotest parts of Cambodia. And there he found a village out in the jungles. And he went into a hut. And in that hut, he saw a huge picture. And the picture was of Elvis Presley. They knew Elvis Presley, but they didn't know Jesus. And then he went into an area of the marketplace and he saw another big poster. And that poster said, think globally, act locally. And it was underneath a sign that said Coca-Cola. They like Coca-Cola down in Guanajuato, brother. He came home and he went to Atlanta, Georgia, to the home base. And there was a sign in the entrance, think globally, act locally. Now, the origin of that saying had to do with environmentalists who said, think environmentally, globally, but act in your own community and in your own city to take care of the environment. Coca-Cola picked that up and used it economically to challenge their people to take Coca-Cola even to the remotest parts of this world. And then Brother Coyle said, we need to let that be the motto of the church of our Lord. Think globally, act locally in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And this morning, we invite you to think locally. This is your home. This is where you live, your family. And brethren, if you have found something vital in Jesus Christ, you need to be vocal in Christ Jesus. If your life has been transformed by the gospel of Christ, you need to be transmitting the gospel of Christ to your neighbors, your friends, those you go to school with. Mission. It's the heart of Christ. It's the hope of the condemned. It's the health of the church. If you're here today and you need to become a Christian, we encourage you as we sing this invitation song to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope of glory. In Ephesians 2, Paul talked about Gentile Christians and they used to be dead in sins. But he says, at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you have peace within and peace with the Lord and peace with others. That peace can be yours today. You respond to the gospel of Christ. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Come to the Lord who loved you and died for you. With the crimson cross so near, oh, why will you die in your sins this morning?
Please come to the Lord as we stand and sing together.